Well, a little update. We up now to, I think John told me this morning, 45 veterans in the Patriots Villas, and that's so cool. And so what I want to do, I told Ed, I said, Ed, I got to have an American flag up here because I want to say the Pledge of Allegiance to the American flag. Would everybody stand and do that with me? Now, I don't mean to put down or anything like that, but the first service we started off like, I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of, what was it, United States of America. So whenever we do this, let's do it like we mean it, okay? Let's really do it and just really pat these guys on the back too at the same time. Ready? I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Give the Lord a hand. Yeah! Hoo-yah! All right, y'all can be seated. Now, I want all the military personnel stand up. All of you. Yeah! Yeah! That's what I'm talking about. Uh-huh. Men and women, thank you so much. After the service today, I'm going to be able to go home and watch football games because you took care of us whenever you were over there where we can do that. And do everything else we enjoy because of what they did. And I'm just proud to be part of something like that. All right. I'm going to bring forth a word that I feel like God has got for us. And I got something over my email, and I read it, and I had never heard about this going on. But the title of it is Don't Bully Yourself. And I knew that's what the Lord wanted me to build this message out of the day for everybody to hear, because we have a bad habit, well, a lot of people have a bad habit of bullying themselves. You know, I don't know if you ever heard the term bullying yourselves. There's always been somebody else bullied you. You know what I'm saying? You always, you got kids at school and then they come home crying because Tommy, not Johnny, Tommy beat up on him and he's been doing that for a long time and he's bullying the little kid. And that's been going on in a lot of schools, and they've been dealing with it. But when I saw this, don't bully yourself, it was the first time I ever heard of that term. Don't bully yourself. And so how many of you have ever felt like God wanted or needed you to do something, and you lacked the confidence and the courage to do it? How many have been there? I mean, God has called every single one of us. God has got a plan for every one of you in here, male and female. He has a plan for your life. But a lot of times we will bully ourselves and say, we can't do it. I'm not good enough. I'm not tall enough. I don't look right. I don't hear right. I don't speak right. That is bullying yourself. You don't even need the enemy will come to you, throw a thought in your mind, you buy into it, and he backs off and just lets you bully yourself for the rest of your life. And you never reach the place that God wants you to be in life because you've got in the habit of doing this. So God's got a calling for every single one of us, a plan. And it could be looking for a new job, give a presentation, go back to college, but you tell yourself, I just can't do it. I'll never be able to do that. I'm not good enough to go back to college. Have you ever done that, been there? And so I want to deal with that today. And a lot of times I think as Christians, and even myself to start off with, a lot of times we think as Christians, we believe God nudges us to do something. It shouldn't be hard. If God tells me to do something, if God's behind me, it shouldn't be hard at all. And that is the case sometimes. But I'm just going to say that was not the experience that Pat and I had when we first started off. So a lot of times whenever God tells you to do something, how many of you know you have an adversary? And that adversary does not want you to do what God's called you to do, what you've been gifted to do, what you've been called to do. And so he does not want you to do it. So the adversary comes and begins to, with doubts and thoughts, to try to get you to back off. And so it's important that you understand the fact that whenever God calls you, you go kind of being against a battle, you know. I can remember when Pat and I first came to Charleston, and before we got here, I was going to Gloryland Bible College in Florence, South Carolina, and it was a place we'd been going now for a couple of years. We were just having so much fun, had some dynamic teachers, and the worship was just incredible. And one day I got called into the staff, the president's office, and the president, and so Pat and I went in there and sat down, and he offers me a job on staff. I'm thinking, wow, could be a teaching pastor here, you know, and could be part of this humongous thing. And I'm just sitting there listening to him, and I'm getting excited. I said, oh, hallelujah, man, I'm going to be able to get on staff here. And I look over there at Pat, and I see her head going. I'm looking over there, and I said, baby, what's wrong? She said, I don't think it's what the Lord wants us to do. I said, what? I mean, we've been coming for so long, having so much fun, and I mean, just enjoying life. And then she says, I don't think it's God. And so he heard her say that. And he said, do you want me to leave for a few minutes and come back and chat with y'all again? I said, yeah, I think that might be a good idea. And so he walks out of the office, and I said, baby, what is wrong? She said, I don't know what to tell you. I don't get that inner peace about it. Well, I got the inner peace about it. I mean, can you imagine being on staff and you get thousands of people coming to church? Why can't you have peace about it? She said, I don't know. I just don't have peace about it. I said, all right. He comes back in, sits down. He said, well, I need to have an answer today. I can't. He said, what? He said, I can't. He says, why not? No, I didn't do that. Race that. Race that. I said, my wife doesn't have a piece about it, and if she's not on board with me, we can't go into ministry not being on board together, so we're going to have to back down. And I couldn't understand it, you know, and we sought counsel and got some counsel, but within, I don't know, 6 months to a year, the whole place closed down. The whole college closed down. Even colleges the place that started up the East Coast, they all fell through. And I'm so thankful that my wife hears the Lord. So whenever she says, honey, boy, I'm there. And I'm there fast because I do not want to miss the Lord. Amen? Amen. But we all the time, you know, I look back, and after we got here and started working in ministry, God had a plan for us here. But it was hard for us to get here because we had so much there, and it was hard to turn it loose. And so we sold our home. We did everything, we did. And we talked to Pastor Mike. He said, why don't you come to Charleston and maybe to God open up the door for you or something. You know, he didn't promise nothing. And so I came up, I managed food stores for about 15 years, and I came up and got a job at a food store. And to make a long story short, God opened the door for me to come on staff here in 1990, and I've been here ever since. But God had a plan for me and Pat. Now, it says in Jeremiah 29:11, this is not just to me, it's for everybody in here. This is what it says. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you. Say, prosper me.
Prosper me.
Say it again.
Prosper me.
God has a plan to prosper you and not to harm you. Say, not to harm me.
Not to harm me.
Say it again.
Not to harm me.
Say it one more time.
Not to harm me.
Say it like you mean it.
Not to harm me.
God has a plan to prosper you and not to harm you. You ought to give God a hand for that. Yeah. Because I hear so many stories when lives fall apart, they end up, well, if God could have stopped it, he would have stopped it. Or, you know, maybe God didn't. According to the Word of God, he has plans to prosper you and not harm you. Amen? And so God wants what's good for you. God wants you to prosper in every aspect of your life. Going forward, backing up, to the right, to the left, He wants to prosper you. He wants to prosper everything you lay your hands on. Amen?
Amen.
That's what He wants to do for you. So Jeremiah 29:11, so I have no other plans for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not harm you. So that's what you need to go with, knowing that God is good. Let me get this straight right now. You may have seen me do it before. Bad devil, good God. Come on. What? Bad devil, good God. Never mixes. It never mixes. The devil's always bad. God's always good. I said, God's always good. I like participation. You don't have to hesitate at that. Now listen to this, how much God loved you. For you created, this is every person sitting in here now, I'm saying it to you. This is to you. For you created, God created my most inward being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Let me hear you say it. I am
fearfully and wonderfully made.
I'm telling y'all, y'all need to pep up or something. I mean, understand that God said He fearfully, say it again. Say it like you mean it.
I am fearfully and wonderfully made.
You are fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in a secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth. There's not an accident in this building. You hear what I'm saying? There's not an accident in this building. I don't know how you got here, but God planned it. He'll take something bad and make it good. Amen?
Amen?
That's just the way our Father God is. Your eyes saw my unformed body all the days ordained before we written in your book, before one of them came to pass. Amen.
Amen.
With that being said, why is it so hard sometimes getting where God wants us to be and doing what God has called us to do? Knowing that we have a calling, knowing that we've been wonderfully made, why is it difficult sometimes to find that spot, to find that sweet spot that you can just fit in and know that's where God's called you to be, and then you'll grow and prosper there? Psychologists, sometimes I listen to them. Listen to what they say. Psychologists teach us that there is a mental law that contributes heavenly to our mental state of being. Listen again. There is a mental law. Let me hear you say mental law.
Mental law.
I want you on board with me here. Because I do not want you going into 218 thinking the way you think in 217. Do you hear me?
Yes,
you can't go in 218, thinking the same way in 217, expect to get different results. You hear what I'm saying? All right. You on board with me? Okay. Teach us that there is a mental law that contributes heavenly to our mental state of being. In other words, whether our lives are fulfilled or unfulfilled depends on your what? Mental state. Wow. Here lies the problem. I'm going to share it with you. You want me to share it with you? You don't want me to share it with you. You want me to share it with you?
Yes.
All right, here it comes. Proverbs. Don't you love having fun in church? It's just a lot of fun having fun in church. I can remember I went to Winyall High School. And Dean and I was a football player, and Dean was a cheerleader, the past senior pastor's wife. Y'all got this running? You might better tell him this off. I'm just kidding you. And so Conway was our rival. I mean, it was our rival. We used to fight on the beach and everything back in the day. We hated Conway. And so Winyall and Conway, they were rivals all the time. Well, when I went off to school and Dean went off to school, for a couple of years. We came back. I said, Dean, I heard you got married. She said, yeah, B, you wouldn't believe it. I married the nicest guy. I said, well, where is he from? She said, Conway. I said, Conway? Dean, you committed high treason. You can't marry somebody from Conway. She said, yeah, you know, we laughed about it, you know. And I said, well, you know the difference between Conway and the boys in Georgetown. She said, what? I said, we used to draw a line. Now, I'm going to get back on the word, okay? We used to draw a line, and the Conway boys used to stand over there, and the Georgetown boys used to stand over here. Well, the Conway boys used to get sticks of dynamite and throw them over here in the Georgetown side. Well, she said, well, what do y'all do? What did y'all do? I said, we picked them up, lit them, and threw them back to them. Okay. Y'all ready to move forward? Okay. Here's the problem in our lives, guys, that keeps us from moving forward in life, that kind of keeps us in a stalemate, keeps in one spot. Proverbs 23:7. As a man thinketh, so is he. As a man or woman thinketh, so is he. Very important, you've got that. The most important things in life are thoughts we choose to think. The most important things in life are the thoughts we choose to think. Listen to this now. I picked this up from somewhere. I think it's true. I know it's true. 85% of people never think. 85% of people never think. 10% of people think they think. 5% of people think. And it's that 5% that think that changes the church and changes the world. It is what, now listen, it is what we think, y'all. It is what we think that determines who we are and who we will become. This determines what we become. And so I was watching people this morning. I might have said this a while ago, but I hope not. They were running, got their little gym suits on, you know, they're making this New Year's resolution. And I think, you know, they're going to stay the same no matter what you do. If you don't change this, you can do all the changes on the exterior, but you're not going to do any change on the interior. Amen? Amen. And what matters is you've got to change the way you think if you go change the way you live and who you become. You can't go into 2018 thinking and believing the same way you did this year. You need to up the ante for next year. Amen. You need to up your ante for next year on the way you think. You understand what I'm saying? It's so, so, so important. Listen, 2 Corinthians 10:5 says this, and I like it too. It says, we must. Let me hear you say, we must. Say, we must cast down every imagination, every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Amen. And bring into captivity every thought. Let me hear you say every thought.
Every thought.
Every thought to the obedience of Christ.
Amen.
Every thought that comes into your head that does not tell you how great you are and how good, what you could do in your life, and you can reach levels of height, you can do anything you choose to do. Any thought that says you can't, the Bible says you need to grab a hold of that thing and cast it down in the name of Jesus. You hear what I'm saying? You need to cast it down. Put it on your feet. But the problem is, a lot of times thoughts will come and we will buy into those thoughts. And those thoughts that come and you start nurturing those thoughts, and before long you become what you thought and the way you think. Do you hear me, church? It's so important that we go into 218 changing the way we think. If we go change the way we do and what we're going to become, we got to change how we think. This is the bottom line. And the Bible tells us, he says, you got to understand that you have an adversary. I hate to even say his name. I'm not going to say his name. You have an adversary that is fighting for control over your mind. He wants to get in your mind and tell you what you can't do. How many of you have ever been walking along and you're sitting at a family reunion and, B.H., remember your grandpa? Yeah, I know. You know how sick he got? Yeah. Well, you know he wasn't able to walk by the time he was 61 years old. Have you ever been in a situation like that and a thought comes up and says, you know that bloodline's going to come right on down to you? And that's funny, but how many of you have ever experienced that? You start thinking that, you start reading what's going on in your family as they get older, and you start thinking, I wonder if that's going to happen to me. And you know who's going to be standing right there saying, yes, it is? The enemy will try to get you to start believing and bullying yourself. He's the bully, but if he can get you to buy into a lie and you just take it and run with it, he'll just stand off and just watch you destroy yourself. He'll just stand there and watch you destroy yourself. Yeah. You can't let that happen. And Paul meant that. See, but the only way, boy, I'm telling you right now, this right here created the heavens and earth. This right here is your sword. Where we fall short is, church, we don't know what's in there. The pastor's responsibility is to know the Bible. He's supposed to teach me. How many ever tried eating one meal a week? I see some of you, I ain't tried that in a long time. No, I'm just kidding. Forgive me. Isn't this fun? It's like rubbing a spot on your arm with alcohol before they give you the shot. But you have to know what's in the Word of God if you're going to be able to combat the thoughts that comes into your mind. Because if you don't know what God said about you, then anybody can say something to you and you'll buy into it. Especially if they're somebody of authority, especially if they're your dad or your uncle, or especially somebody who owns their own business, or they've got plenty of money, and they come up and you say, boy, I'm telling you right now, I've been watching, you ain't going to turn out to be a flipping thing good. Well, somebody with authority speak that to me like that, man, 9 times out of 10, I'll receive that because, golly, look at him. He's powerful. He's got plenty of money. He's got a big business. Now, if I know what the Word of God says, then I can combat that. I can come back and say, that ain't the truth. I'm not buying into that doggone lie. No way. Do you know, sir, that everything I lay my hands on to prospers? I said, do you know everything I lay my hands on to prospers? Yeah. Did you know that? Do y'all know that? Do you realize the Bible says that no weapon formed against you can prosper, no harm will come nigh your dwelling? Huh? Do you know that? Did you know that the Lord said he goes before you every day to prepare your way and his glory is your real reward? Did you know that? Whenever you know the Word of God, when those thoughts come, you're able to take that thought and you cast it down. If it comes again, you take that thought and you cast it down. If it comes again, you take that thought and you cast it down. After a little while, the devil's going to move. He's going to back off. It's very, 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 very important that you understand that. Listen to this now. Here's some statistics. I recently read that each day the average person has about 50,000 thoughts. Some of researchers put that number at 70,000 thoughts. Based on a scripture that I just read a while ago, as a man thinketh, so is he. And you got 50,000 thoughts coming into your head or 70,000 thoughts coming into your head. and you start thinking on those thoughts, especially if they're negative, no good thoughts, maybe something your family, your dad, your mom said to you, or a cousin or an uncle, it keeps popping up into your life, and you start believing, I can't be anything, I'm not going to ever be anything. Where do you think those thoughts come from? I said, where do you think those thoughts come from? Say, the enemy. He's the one that's wanting your head. He's the one that's wanting the advantage over your mind, because he knows if he can get your mind, he can get you. He knows he can speak a lie to you and you buy into it. He'll just back off like that and you start bullying yourself, beating yourself up. And you just stay at the bottom for the rest of your life. Golly, Moses, 50,000 thoughts. 70,000 thoughts. Our mind is the most valuable thing that we have in our possession. We can be born again and heaven bound, but if we allow wrong thoughts to stay in our mind, our effectiveness on earth can greatly diminish and God's purpose for us will never be fulfilled. We must war against thoughts that do not agree with the Word of God. We must refuse to dwell on them. How many of us? I can remember playing Little League baseball, and I thought I had a good game. They were picking players to go to the state, play on a state team. I believe I went 3-for-3 or 3-for-4, something like that, and I just knew I was going to make the team, and I didn't make the team. I beat myself up so bad that I wasn't good enough. I didn't practice enough. I didn't do enough. Back then, as a young kid, I didn't know what I was up against. The enemy was trying to get in even back then when I was 11, 12 years old. It doesn't matter. He has no respect for age. If you let him in at 12 and 13, he'll come. If you let him in at 80 and 85, he'll come. He don't care. All he desires to do is to kill, steal, and destroy your life. And you don't know, if you don't know who's coming at you through your thoughts and you let them lay there for a little while, it's going to get roots. If you don't cast them down, listen to me. If you let those thoughts come telling you how no good you are and that you'll never be anything in your life and that your wife will never get along, you and your wife will never get along, I need to look somewhere else. Whatever the bull he's trying to sell you, if you leave those thoughts along over a period of time, they will become a strong hold. They just start off with simple thoughts, but over a period of time, they become a strong hold. And now it begins to control the way you think about you, think about your spouse, think about your kids, think about your job, think about your neighbors, think about your city. Think about everything. It becomes a stronghold. It will influence the way you think in the negative forever for the rest of your life. And until you get a couple of guys to understand that process, and you call them, I said, I need this stronghold broken. And you get a couple of Christian guys that understand the process and lay hands on your head and pow, get that thing broke off your head and be free. But if you don't know it, you've got to learn. You've got to know what the Word of God says before you could do anything. You understand what I'm saying? I said, do you understand what I'm saying? Yes. Okay, hallelujah, y'all still here. Listen, y'all don't leave me here by myself now. I want to read some things to you. What? I might go on to 1 o'clock then, if you don't mind. Listen to this. For the Lord will not cast off his people. This is Psalm 94:14. This is just a simple word of God. For the Lord will not cast off his people, nor will he forsake his inheritance. Now then, if you will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant, then you shall be a special treasure to me above all people. For all the earth is mine. Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid or dismayed. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. I said, the Lord, your God, is with you wherever you go. Oh, boy. And the Lord, he is the one who goes before you. He will be with you. He will not leave you nor forsake you. Do not fear nor be dismayed. For I am persuaded that neither life neither death nor life nor angels or principalities or powers, nor things present nor things to come, nor height nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate me from the love of God. Huh? That's the kind of stuff that's in the Word of God. For I know the thoughts I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and of not evil. Thoughts of peace and not evil. I said thoughts of peace and not evil. That's enough to shout over, church. How many of you been having evil thoughts? And you think, well, if that's God or not. Well, if you didn't know it wasn't God, you could buy right into him pretty easily. You hear what I'm saying? So you got to be able to rightly divide the Word of God. Fill your eyes, your eyes, you saw my subject before yet unformed, and in your book they were all written, the days fashioned for me. The days are fashioned for me, saith the Lord, when as yet there were none of them. How precious also are your thoughts to me. How precious are your thoughts to me. There's a difference of precious thoughts and thoughts that are not precious. Would it be easy to determine what was God and what wasn't God? Come on. Would it be easy? If you know his thoughts are precious to you and a thought to come to you that was not precious, guess where it's coming from? Talk back. The enemy. Are not two sparrows sold for a copper coin, and not one of them falls to the ground apart from your Father's will? But the, listen at this. Oh, my Lord. I'm going to get there. I'm coming. But I'm going to be right there in just a minute. But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Do not fear, therefore. You are of more value than sparrows. That's the word. That is the word of God. And it's so important, church. I can't overemphasize. It's so important that you get into the Word of God and learn what it says about you and do what it says you can do. Amen? Amen. And that way, yeah, there will be no limits in your life where you can go. No limits in your life where you can go. I know a young man that wants to start his own trucking business. And we were sitting at the at the table just chatting about it. And he wants to start his own trucking business or mechanic business. I can't remember which one it was. Which one was it, John? Mechanic? Mechanic. And we're just sitting there talking and stuff, you know, and just discussing how we can make that happen. And I looked at John and said, John, listen, God wants you at the what, John? Top. Whatever you do, whatever you do, you do, you do, you do, God wants you at the top. Why? Because the light shines brighter and broader at the top than it does from the middle or next to the middle and at the bottom. Amen? Amen. And so whatever you're involved in, just have faith that God's going to promote you to the top. I'm telling you, he'll move people slap out of your way to get you to the top if you believe him for it. He'll move you out of the way. I'm not there at one yet. I'm still moving a little bit. Let me tell you another story. I remember working at a food store. And I was working in the produce department, and this manager would come to me and say, well, B.H., I'm going to give you a raise in a couple of months. I said, okay, man, I'm really excited. I really need a raise, too, married and children. And so a couple of months would go by. I said, where's my raise at? He said, well, you know, it's going to take a couple more months. You know, it's going to take a couple more months to give you a raise. I said, okay, all right. I'd go back in the stock room and say, Lord, he done promised me twice for a raise. And he hasn't given me a raise yet. I'm going to believe you go work on that old boy. Not bad. You know what I'm saying? I don't want the Lord to take him out. He can't take him out. I'm just kidding. He won't take him. He loves him. Anyway, another 2 months came by, no raise. Another 2 months came by, no raise. A year went by, no raise. I kept going to the back stock room saying, Lord, he's promised me a raise, and he hasn't given it to me. So one day, I'm standing working hard. I didn't stop working hard. I knew I had to do what I was supposed to do. You know what I'm saying? Work hard, be there on time, work over if I have to be. That's what makes it happen. And I was billing an end display one day on the grocery store, and I noticed this man was staring at me. I kept looking at him. He kept looking at me, and all of a sudden he'd disappear. He'd be gone 15 minutes. About 15 minutes later, he'd come back. And I said, I wonder who the world that is. So it was that was on a Thursday, and I came back. When I got off work that Thursday and worked Friday, I came back on Monday. That man was sitting in the office, the big office, and I didn't see my manager nowhere. And so he came out of that office and said, come in, BH, I want to talk to you. He said, I've been watching you work. I just bought this store. That's our God. He gave me a raise so big, it blew me away. No, it didn't blow me away. I was expecting God. Whenever you're believing God for something and somebody gets in your way, he'll move them right out of your way to give you what you're believing for. Especially, and I ended up sitting in the bank one day getting ready to buy a grocery business, and God just shut it down, saying, no, I want you in the ministry. He'll take you slap to the top. He was taking me to the top of that grocery business. He was going to give me a store of my own. But God had a different what? Plan. But I worked hard where I was at, and I was determined to get to the top at that place. And if God wants to change it, then he can change it. Amen?
Amen.
And so you've got to believe God, though. You got to know what God says about you. Know that he's for you and not against you. That he goes before you. When you know that's the word of God, when these thoughts come that contradict the word, you can deal with them. You can take that word and you can cast it down in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
You know what I'm saying? Don't play with it. I cast you down in Jesus' name. No? I mean, y'all forgive me. You cast that thought down in the name of Jesus. You mean business with the enemy. Don't allow him to insert thoughts in your mind that contradicts the word of God. Amen?
Amen?
You've got to be able to do that. And the only way that happens is learning the word of God. That's how it comes about. Amen?
Amen.
It says, study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. That's what it takes. That's what it takes. Now, Joshua 1:8. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth. Where did he say it shall not depart? Your mouth. You can have what you say. You can have what you say. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it how often? Day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you hear me? Then it says, and then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have success.
Amen.
You hear me, church?
Amen.
Closing thought. I want to take communion right after this because I want to take communion and make that decision that we're going to change the way we think for 2018. And I'm just going to stand off and watch God do miracles with the body of Christ here. Amen? I'm just going to watch God do that thing, not just in your life, but my life and everybody else's life. This is my closing thought. Our thinking has the capacity to either crown us or cripple us. One of the two. Amen? Now, as guest services come and starts passing out the bread, I'm excited about this. If you're here for the first time, feel free, you know, to take communion with us. Thank you, brother. I want you to believe while we do this want you to believe for a miracle in your life. Maybe there's something going on in your life. Maybe it might be a physical issue, whatever it may be. But once we take communion, we're going to believe for God's healing power to begin to move and to begin to touch lives, touching everybody in here. And you just need to release your faith to draw that miracle into your life, believing that God will do it, because he's for you and what? Not against you. He's for you. As you and I continue to walk out our salvation, there are times that we mess up. It's just sometimes we just make mistakes. Even mature believers, we step outside of God's will for our lives sometimes. But when we do, our natural tendency is to run from God and not to God. Like Adam and Eve, whenever they sinned, they ran from God and they hid. But I'm going to challenge you. As we're doing life and as we're believing God to move in our lives and enter into the calling and the ministries that he may have for you, when we mess up, it's okay. Don't run from God. Run into God's arms and let him embrace you with his love and acceptance. We have an advocate. We have an intercessor, Jesus, making intercession at all times for us. Don't be afraid just to run and jump right into the arms of your dad. He will love you and kiss on you and embrace you because he loved you enough and loved me enough to give up his son for us. That's how much he loves us. The Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. Got it? And when he had given thanks, he breaks it. Take and break. And said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which was broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." Take and eat. After the same manner, also he took the cup. And when he had supped, saying, "This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as often as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he comes." Take and drink it. You can pass the little cups down to the end. Now listen. About a month ago, I'm assuming it was about a month ago, I felt like the Lord wanted me to start taking communion every day. And so that's what I've been doing for about the last month. I've been taking communion every day before I do anything else. Sometimes I'd forget and run out and I'd come back and take communion. He didn't tell me to do it for me to miss it and be judged. That's not what it was about. He loves me so much. But then as I started taking communion, I saw this wall. I was believing God for a wall, the wall of blood and the wall of flesh that was shed for us to be built right here in front of me. It stops sin. It stops guilt. It stops condemnation from entering into your life. What we just built by taking communion is that wall. When you mess up, put it on the other side of that wall. But when it comes, it's not going to be able to get to you. The Bible says that we are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I said, the Bible says that we are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Amen. That we have a right standing with God. And every time you make a mistake, when we make a mistake and mess up, and the enemy comes, and he tries to accuse you, and he tries to take it to the Father and say, see what your son did? See what your daughter did? And there's Jesus standing at the right hand of the Father. He said, and the Father God looks over at Jesus. He says, what do you think? And he gets that hammer and says, wham! He's declared innocent. I shed my blood. I broke my body for what he's done. So, let that be embedded in your mind. If you mess up, that's okay. He's waiting with his arms open. Run to Jesus. Run to Jesus and let him love you and love you and love you. Guilt does not come from God. Where does it come from? Any thought that kills, steals, and destroys is of the enemy. Life and life more abundantly is what God is all about. Amen? Amen. Amen.